There was a man that visited the doctor one day, and he was in tremendous pain. He said, I ache and I hurt all over my body, doctor. There's not a place that I'm not feeling pain. And so the doctor told him to touch, he said, touch your shoulder then. And he touched his shoulder and he yelled loud, oh, it hurts, doc, it hurts. And the doctor just kind of shook his head, you know, not something like he typically sees. And he said, well, I want you to touch your thigh then. And he leaned down and he touched his thigh, and it was such immense pain, and he hollered when he touched his thigh, and he said, it hurts, doctor. And then he said, doctor said, I've never seen anything like this. Why don't you lean down and touch your toes for me? And the doctor observed, and he leaned down, and he touched his toes, and he moaned, and he groaned when he touched his toes. And he said, I'm telling you, doctor, everywhere you tell me to touch, it is going to hurt. And a little light bulb went on inside the doctor, and he said, give me your hands. And he looked his hands over, took his fingers, and he said, no wonder you have a dislocated finger. This man was constantly in great pain. He knew he was in pain, but he didn't know why. He didn't know where it was coming from. He didn't know the reason for his pain. And, you know, that's how life can be with you and I. We suffer and we go through pain and we just don't know why. We ask the question why, and most of the time we just don't know why we go through what we go through. We know there's going to be pain. That's a good thing to be able to know. I mean, it is clear. God has made it clear in His Word that there's going to be some pain in this life. In Romans 8:18, it says, for the sufferings of this present time. And then Paul says over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, verse 17, he speaks of our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And that moment is talking about the life that we're living here on this earth. So we're going to have affliction while we're here. There's going to be sufferings in the present time. Jesus says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. So troubles and trials and problems and pain, we know that this is going to take place in the here and now. But why? Why? Every now and then we might know the reason later why something happened. But for most of these things, we're really not going to know. But let's walk through an examination tonight of why we suffer through pain. We're just going to have an examination of several reasons why our pain comes. I don't know if we're going to make a connection tonight with something from the past or anything like that, but it's good to know from God's Word some reasons why we suffer. And let's just go ahead and start with the first one. The first reason for our pain might be the first place we go to in our minds to think that the result of our pain is because of this, and that is rebellion, iniquity, trespass, sin. You know, so we search our minds and we search our lives and we think, what have I done? Is there something in my life, you know, that has caused this pain that I am going through? You know, when we rebel and sin against God and offend God, I mean, this will surely give us some pain. I mean, sin has temporary pleasure in the flesh, but sin also has its built-in punishment. So there's no doubt that there's going to be some pain that comes from our rebellion. It would be it would behoove us to stay very mindful about the punishment that comes from the things that we do versus that moment of pleasure that one might get from it. It's important to see our rebellion for what it is, because we can get so turned around that our pain could be the result of something that we did to offend God, and yet we're going to turn around and blame God for it or ask God why this has come into my life. But it could very well be, you know, something that we have done. And God is never to fault for our rebellion. He tests us, but He does not tempt us. So He's never to be at fault for this, but there is something that we can connect God to with our rebellion, and that is forgiveness. He's a forgiver. In Proverbs 28:13, He says, "Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them, and them his sins, shall have mercy." There's something audible here in this voice. In this verse, and that is to confess. And then there's something abandoning in this verse that's to happen, and that is the forsaking. By the way, when we confess and we tell God we're in a position to forsake it, we all need to ask His help to do that. May we never claim that without saying, "Lord, help me to be able to do this." But Our own rebellion will bring about pain in our lives, but God offers forgiveness for it. He also offers correction. In Hebrews chapter 12, a familiar verse to us all, "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." That right there is nothing but a positive verse. That is positive because the Lord chastens us because He loves us. When the Lord chastens us, that lets us know that we are His child. That is all positive. Not to mention that when He's chastening us, He's helping us not to bring more pain into our lives by our own rebellion. And so we got the first one out of the way. And that's the one. Look, that's for some people, maybe it stops there. Maybe for some people, they think when pain comes into their life, it has to be something I've done. Let me think back. Let me go back 4.5 months. Let me go back here. And some people just scour their lives. Look, if you don't know what it is, don't be thinking that that's all that it is. And don't go scouring your past because, hey, it might not have anything to do with any rebellion against God at all that we are going through some pain. That is one way. Surely, and that is a way that we will know. No one else is going to know, but we're going to know. We're definitely going to know first. We'll be the one God makes to know, but that's only one possible way that we're going to go through pain, rebellion. Let's go to another one. How about prevention of rebellion? Before we ever do this or that, we are pained sometimes for the lesson learned in advance proactively that we might not bring that pain upon ourselves. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, Paul tells his story. This is his testimony of the pain in his life and why he has it. He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." God used Paul in some very tremendous ways in the work of the ministry for His glory. Paul wrote nearly half of the books of the New Testament. That's nowhere near half the New Testament in writings, but it's half of the books, and God used Paul for that. He gave Paul great authority in his work on earth, and Paul was in the flesh just like us. Imagine being that kind of Christian, used by God in that way, and Paul having the temptations just like we do, with the same remainders of that sin nature hanging around. We would be tempted to pride, being used so greatly. Paul was tempted to pride, just like us. You know, pride may have been Paul's downfall had he not received this pain in his life. Paul might not have ended his time here on earth the way he did if he hadn't have been pained. If pride would have set in, you know, his story might have been similar to someone who had forsaken him. There's a man named Demas, and you find his name three times in the Bible. And Paul is the one who wrote about him. And the first time you find Demas's name, he is a fellow laborer of Paul. The second time you find his name, he's just there. Others have these adjectives and these things before their names of the blessing they were to Paul or the blessing they're going to be to someone else. But it got to Demas this time, and it just said Demas. And then the last time, it said that he had forsaken Paul, having loved this present evil world. And we never hear anything else about Demas. Could have been that way for Paul, had he not been pained for the prevention of rebellion, okay? But consider Paul's end and what he wrote. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." Paul got to bust the tape at the finish line. Paul finished strong. And how much did the thorn in the flesh help him to get there? That he wouldn't be exalted above measure, he was given that thorn in the flesh. The prevention of rebellion. Sometimes the pains in our lives, I'm not saying we're going to know it, but know that this is a reason for it, and it's not for rebellion, it's for prevention of it for the children of God. God made it clear to Paul that he was not able to do what God called him to do in his own strength. He would be tempted to think that. Many Christians are tempted to think that. There are some Christians who are caught up in that right now, that the work of God couldn't be without me. It couldn't live on without me, maybe. I'm just talking about temptations that everybody has. You know, we're all replaceable. And everything that we do that is going to be successful, that is going to be approved in the eyes of God, it's going to be done in God's strength. And God clearly showed Paul that what he was going to do was because of him. And so we have the prevention of rebellion. Paul, the Lord sent Paul pain and then gave him grace. And it prevented him from being exalted above measure. May we consider that in our lives. God wants to do great things in all of our lives. And He wants to keep us grounded and realizing that He is empowering and He is enabling everything that we're able to do. our pain isn't necessarily because of transgressions, okay? That is not the only go-to. It's not the only place to go when you have the thought of why some pain has come into your life. It could be to keep us from committing transgression. But how about pain coming into our lives being for the reason of responding to others as a result of having it and as a result of what we experience in the Lord? By the way, this portion we're about to share, this covers the result of every single reason for our pain that we go through. A result that should come about from everything, being able to respond to others. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. This is a result for every kind of pain that we go through. That is, when we walk with the Lord through our pain, we don't blame Him, we don't get bitter, we don't curl up in fetal position in a dark room and stay all by ourselves closed up in the house. When we walk with the Lord through our pain, He has a great use for that. Because our pain is common among others. Others have gone through what we're going through. We are going to see others going through trials, and we have been there. And there's something that the Lord is using us to match up with someone in this with. In our pain, we read in these verses that the Lord helps us. He helps us in our struggles, in our troubles that we go through. So then we have the experience of walking with the Lord, receiving the comfort of God as we go through our struggles. And we are to take that experience and go to someone else who's going through a time of struggles and to help them to be able to do so. We have a lot of confidence when we have walked with the Lord through our troubles. We see someone else, and though their pain is different from us, we can relate in an amazing way to where they are. But not only that, we see and know what the Lord can do for them. So we go to the Lord, we go to them doing everything we can in our experience with the Lord to help another through the trial that they are going through, to help the pain of someone else. We've all dealt with a similar struggle, and we know what the Lord does in our struggles, so we can guide them along. We can be a comfort and an encouragement to someone else during the storm that they are going through. We don't know exactly how someone else feels, but we can just see ourselves in their season of pain, and we can relate, and we know what the outcome is because of what God has done for us. And we are able to be of assistance to others. Our pain is our calling to a comforting ministry for someone else. We're called to help others in their struggles. It is no accident when we are placed in or near the life of someone else who's going through a struggle that we've had experience with, that we might bear their burden, that we might help them to go to the place that God has taken us to when we have been successful to make it through the pains of life. When we walk with God through our pain, He equips us. And He says, now you go and you help another. and we are equipped to be able to do so. You know, the way that we love the Lord, the way that we show that we love the Lord is, it says, keep, if you love me, keep my commandments. So there's several things we can say. But one way we show that we love the Lord is when we love His people and when we help others. Loving the Lord is loving others. How do we serve the Lord? Because the Lord doesn't need anything. We serve the Lord by serving others. And that's the ministry that we've been called to. And hey, can we connect this tonight? Our pain is helping us to be able to do that. It's for responding to others. How about another reason? A reason that's opposite of our rebellion. How about because of righteousness? In Job chapter 1, we find a most interesting conversation going on between the Lord God and Satan. And just paraphrasing, the Lord says, Satan, what are you doing? And he says, I'm just going on about in this world, having my way with people, causing them pain, causing your people pain, and hindering them from doing things for you whenever they give me their attention. Those in the world who don't know you, I'm making them bitter because of what I'm causing in their life. And so Satan, just right in God's face, says this about what he's doing in this world. Man, and God being God, he could do many things right then and there, but what does he do? He says, has thou considered my servant Job? A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Of course, that word perfect doesn't mean he's perfect. No one is perfect until they get to heaven. We all fall short of the glory of God. No, none of us are near perfect. Job wasn't near perfect, but he was being completed. He was a great work in progress. And God had done a work in his life. And he loved the Lord. And the Lord says, how about him? How about my servant Job? And you know that accuser Satan. He accuses God of blessing him so much, and that's why he won't turn against him. Look at all you've given him. Take it away and he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord says, I'm going to let you do it. You can't kill him, but take everything he has and see what happens. Take his blessings away. And so Job suffered losing his children. Job suffered having all of his wealth taken from him. He suffered having his health taken from him. Job was pained in all of these areas. Why? Why did it happen? The opposite of rebellion. Because of his righteousness. Because Job was righteous. Job's friends sat around, and no doubt Job's testimony impressed and impacted them, and they just sat quietly by his side. They did so good until they decided they were going to help Job out. And they just got a little restless, and they just had to figure out what was going on in old Job's life. It had to be something that you did that caused this. I was telling somebody the story the other day about Granddaddy's gate. He had a chain link gate and he opened and shut that thing for 40 years. When he left somewhere or went back, he had to get out of the car every time, open it and shut it. And he just did that all his life. And somebody had the bright idea of helping him. And so they tore that gate down and they brought in a new gate. It was going to be solar powered and he could hit a button and open that gate and close it. Well, they got the framework up and never got the gate going. So it was open all the time, and all the dogs from the neighborhood came in his yard now, and he went to sleep at night knowing that his driveway was wide open all night long. And he's describing that, and he said, I'm so glad when people try to help me. He wasn't glad, of course. Job's friends tried to help him. It's something you did, Job. It's something in your life. Where's that rebellion? It had to be something. They had no idea. Job had no idea what it was. But he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And the end of that first chapter of Job, let me go ahead and read it. It says this. After Job lost his health, his wealth, his children, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And that's why Job, that result right there, that's why Job went through what he did. It was nothing to do with any offense against God whatsoever. It was because that he was righteous that he suffered the things that he did. You know, and the thing about the reason for that pain, we're never going to know that. I mean, I can't imagine any Christian saying, well, this is some tough stuff I'm going through, but I know it's because of my righteousness that I am. Nobody's going to conclude that. Just think about it. Because we have our whys as to why these things happen, we're not going to know. There's so many times we're not going to know this side of glory, but just know that your Redeemer liveth like Job, and you can count on Him. Well, how about for the glory of God? How about for God's glory? I've had the blessing of teaching Sunday school here and there for a few different classes lately, but everybody was ready to teach, I guess, on John chapter 9. And I didn't get to get in there on that chapter. I love that chapter. And we will just touch it with the Gospel of John chapter 9 and the first three verses. It says, And Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. What did his disciples ask and say about it? His pupils that were following him, that were with him in his earthly ministry. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Which one was it? Well, it was neither. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Surely it was his sin, right? That's what the disciples are saying. Surely it's his sin. Is it the sin of his parents, another generation that set the children's teeth on edge? You know, what is it? It has to be him or his parents, right? Well, no, wrong, disciples. It wasn't him. It wasn't his parents. But it was about God showing what he can do in our lives. The amazing, powerful, mighty work of God. Sometimes our pain is so that God can show His mighty hand in our lives, that He might be glorified. Our pain might be for displaying the power of God. Something that comes to my mind, I'm not saying it's a perfect connection, but I consider children of God that I've had the opportunity to fellowship with, to know as brothers and sisters, to be fellow church members with, and I've watched and I've seen how they serve the Lord, and then I have seen an amazing pain come into their life that is very devastating. And yet, they don't miss a step. They don't miss a beat in serving the Lord. If anything, it grows greater and it grows stronger. And it shows, and I just think, what a mighty God we have. He is greater than all of our struggles in this world. He is greater than any of these things that come upon us. Well, may this help us to deal with our pain in life, because I think it's a quite consuming thought. I reckon that there are a lot of whys, and I know that many of them are not answered, so they go on and they go on and they go on, but we can go to God's Word and we can see that there are many reasons why. And in most cases, we're not going to know. But we can trust that in what we would call bad times, that God is good and He is doing something good. We don't know the reason why these things happen, but we know that God has a good reason for them. Sin is only one of the many reasons. And God will make that known to no one else but His child that's in pain. May it also help us to consider the pain of one that is greater than any of us could ever know. The pain that our Lord Jesus Christ went through. And to think of the reason He went through the pain that He did. The reason for His pain was for you and I. Because He stepped in our place and He suffered for our sins. It was our pain. And He stepped in and He took it. What a wonderful thought to help you and I in our pain, in that, well, it could be worse. Somebody said they knew better than to say it couldn't get worse than this. So they said, I guess it could be worse, but I don't see how. But the pain that Jesus suffered, it was our pain, and it was greater than any pain we will ever know. Jesus knows pain. Not only do you walk through it, and we don't know exactly why, we're helped with some reasons, but how about the fact that we're helped by one who knows exactly how we feel through everything we go through, because He has endured what we have and then some. He took the punishment for our sin. He paid our penalty and He set us free from sin. And one day, we're talking about all this pain tonight. One day, we're going to be completely set free from all pain. Revelation chapter 21. And verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Oh, if we could just look at things through the view of God's Word, He's given us a lot of good help. We can make it. We are thoroughly furnished by this Word right here. It's good for doctrine. It's good for correction. It's good for instruction in righteousness. It's good for reproof. It's good to teach you. It teaches us. It corrects us. It not only corrects us, but it turns us around and shows us how to keep it corrected. And informs us of what we need to know. He, as we've said tonight, He hasn't let us know everything about it, but He's let us know what we need to know. All we need is what we have here, and that's good enough for us. Amen. And maybe tonight it's that there's someone here, and you have just never personally appropriated in your heart the fact that Jesus has taken your pain for all of your sin. But He did so. He stepped in and willingly took it on the cross at Calvary. And if there be one here that has not appropriated that by faith, you have never come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, would you be forgiven for your sins? Would you be set free tonight? Would you know that your penalty has been paid and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? You know, I don't know where that deadline is that we cross. You know, where our heart gets hardened over and over, the more we reject the Lord. And so it would be very valuable for anyone here to do business with God tonight. Would you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Would you and I know tonight that through our pain, that God's doing something good? And it could be one of many reasons. And whatever the case, we can trust Him. We can trust Him. Let us pray. Father, we bow before You again. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. We thank You for Your Word tonight. I thank You for enlightening us, Lord, on the things that we just don't know. You have enlightened us to the point that we can be satisfied. We can be content with what You've given us. And Lord, whatever comes our way, You have many good reasons for it. And we can trust You in all of these things. We can trust You with our lives. Help us to trust You while we're in the storm. Even if You sent it, we know You allowed it. But whatever the case, we know You love us. You never hurt us or make us to be pain just to hurt us. It's always for something good. And so we love You for our understanding of that tonight from Your Word. And we love You for going to the cross for us, where our sin was taken and where it was laid upon You, and You died for us in our place. I thank You for the day that You saved me. I thank You, Lord, that if tonight be the night that someone here would be saved, that they would just say, yes, I take Jesus, who died for my sins, and I trust Him as my Lord and Savior of my life. Lord, we pray that would happen this evening, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.